Today's scripture reading is Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. It's in page 1018 in the Pew Bible if you want to follow. It's from Paul, apparently when he was in prison, to the church of Ephesus in Turkey. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. With all lowliness and meekness, with patience, forbearing one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all of us all, who is above all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. The Word of God.
Thanks be to God.
I'm going to try something today I've never done before, which is preach without a manuscript, not behind the pulpit. So I figure you guys are a forgiving congregation and you've brought me this far, so we can make it through the next 15 minutes or so together as I try this new experiment. One of the realities of going to school in Washington, D.C. and living in Knoxville, Tennessee is that there's a long drive between those two places. And when I first started looking at seminaries, I wasn't too excited about coming to Wesley Seminary because it was so far away. But over the last 3 years, I've become accustomed to that drive, and I've even gotten to the point where at times I enjoy it and look forward to it, particularly the drive home, because when I'm going home, that means I get to rest and relax and enjoy time with friends and family, whereas when I'm coming back here to D.C., it means I need to work and work and work. So there are things about the drive that I've come to enjoy, but also as I've driven that drive many times, I've been able to start enjoying the scenery some. And one of my most favorite parts of the drive is when I get to the end of I-66, where it merges onto I-81. And if you're familiar with that part of the world, when you come out onto I-81, you're at the crest of a hill, and you can see in front of you the Shenandoah Valley. And I always love that part of the drive because it's the first time I see the mountains, and I just love the mountains, and it's my first glimpse of home. And so that's something I always like about driving home. But exactly 4 months ago today, on January 6th, I was making the drive back up to D.C. from Knoxville, and I saw an equally beautiful sight. I was on 66 again, except this time, of course, coming this way. And if you know the Gainesville-Manassas area, where the road widens from like 4 lanes to about 20, right about that particular part in the road, it starts a little bit of a descent into the D.C. metro area. And so as I was crested that hill and started down into those 20 lanes of traffic on I-66, I looked in front of me and there was the moon. And it wasn't like the moon, it was like the moon. It was big, it was low in the sky, it had a pinkish tint to it, orange. It looked so close that I felt like I could reach out and touch it. I'm sure y'all have seen that sometimes, when the moon is very low on the horizon and it was full, and it was just an amazing sight, and it was right in front of me for most of the rest of the drive. And so as I looked at the moon, I noticed that it was oriented in such a way that it looked like the face on the moon was looking down at the D.C. area. And so I kind of chuckled to myself wondering, well, let me back up. If you've ever looked at the face on the moon, you've noticed that it kind of looks like it's smiling a little bit. And so I kind of chuckled to myself thinking, why on earth would the moon look down at D.C. and smile? But I quickly thought about what about this part of the world, and even just what about this world in general would cause God to look down and smile. And I say quite honestly to you, it wasn't too long before my thoughts came to this church. And so the next 30 or 40 minutes of that drive, which, oh, by the way, my radio wasn't working at all on that drive, so I had plenty of time to think. So the last 30 or 40 minutes of the drive, I thought a lot about this church and my time that I've been here, and I wanted to share some of those reflections with you today, in this, my last opportunity to do such a thing. And so I thought, what would God smile about at Wesley. And the first thing I thought of was the sense of community here. And the first time I got a taste of that was my very first Sunday here, when at the end of the service, everybody turned across the aisle and sang the congregational response. And it was something that I had never experienced in any other congregation, and I watched what was happening and kind of sang the words that I didn't know to the hymn of whatever it was that we were singing then very well. I didn't know them very well, but I tried to sing. But mostly I was awestruck by the way that this church acknowledged that this is more than just the self, that there is a community here. You see, the New Testament talks about koinonia, which is fellowship. We talk about it as fellowship, but it's more than fellowship. It's also a mutual sharing where we put aside ourselves in the cause of the greater good. And I recognized at that moment, as I thought about it driving down I-66, that probably God looks down upon this hour every week, and particularly that moment at the end of the service, and I think that God probably smiles. And so I continued to think about things that embody the community of this church. And the next thing I thought of, and I don't know if anybody else remembers this or not, but on the mission trip to Marion, Virginia, we were staying in a small church in Atkins, Virginia, which Marion, you might know where it is, but Atkins is somewhere between Marion and Rural Retreat, and Rural Retreat tells you that it's pretty much in the middle of nowhere. But one of the realities of that mission trip is that we had to make our own meals. And so we had come back, it was early on in the trip, maybe the first day, we might not have even worked yet, and we had come back for the day and made the meal, and we were sitting around eating this dinner, and something got us laughing. And I don't remember what it was. I have no idea. But we were all belly laughing, every single person. And we were laughing so hard that our faces were hurting and our stomachs were hurting, and we couldn't eat or drink anything, because if we had, it would have just ended up back out on the table. And I remember leaning back in my chair and looking around at the old and the young, at the Boy Scouts and the youth, at everybody who was gathered at that table, and thinking, this is a community. This is koinonia. And I think God looked down at that moment, and I think God smiled. I think God also smiles with this church in seeing the commitment that you have made to service. And I mean service both in this community and also service around the world. And the 3 years that I've been here, and some of this is continuing, some of it was going on before I got here, and some of it will continue. But in the 3 years that I've been here, you've successfully been a part of two successful hypothermia outreach projects. You've continued participation in the Crop Walk and the Help a Homeless Walkathon and raised thousands of dollars for that probably in the 3 years that I've been here. You've raised over $12,000 for mission trips and sent 20, 25, 30 people on those two mission trips, one to rural Virginia and one to the Gulf Coast of Mississippi. And in my best estimate, the youth, and with your help supplying supplies, have put together hundreds of college care packages, health kits, school kits, medical kits, flood buckets that have gone to our college students. They've gone to victims of Hurricane Katrina. They've gone to the victims of the tsunami in Southeast Asia. They've gone to the needy around the world. And you have all done that willingly, sacrificially, because not because it was something you felt like you needed to do, but it was something that God has called us to do. And you embody that service in a way that is quite admirable. And I think God looks down on that and God smiles. And I know I need to personally thank you and tell you how much I smile when I think of all that you have done for me. You have been a part. You've made a commitment not only to help me as I've worked with the youth group here, but you've also made a commitment to my education. And I don't feel like I would be able to leave this place and take the next step as comfortably as I feel I can do if it weren't for all of the dedication that you all took to bring me to this point. And there's lots of ways that's happened, through support with the youth group, helping me drive kids around to ski trips and bowling and all the things that we do, and you have helped by supporting the mission trips. You've helped by challenging me when I needed to be challenged. And one of the most tangible ways is by housing me on Sunday nights so that I could save a little bit of time and a little bit of money and a little bit of gas to get my work done here. And I appreciate all that you have done, and it certainly makes me smile. And I would like to think that God also smiles as you serve that way. The verse you heard from Ephesians this morning was the text for one of the very first sermons I heard in seminary at Wesley. And before I get into that, though, I need to say one of the things that this church has helped me do is articulate more clearly my call to ministry. And Paul says in this text this morning, he says, "I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to live a calling, live a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called." And so I thought that as I prepare to take a next step today, and as I leave you in the midst of some very vibrant ministry, that I would share some thoughts about what it is to live a life worthy of the calling to which we have been called. I've thought a lot about what it means in the last 3 years to be church. And so as we think about living a life worthy of the calling to which we have been called, I'd like to share some of those reflections with you today. And one of the things to know about calling is that it's dynamic. It's always changing. I mean, there's a route there, but there's always the exact course that we take, I think, is always going to be changing. And one of the things that Wesley has already done is to start charting a new course, to set down and discern the calling to which you have been called. And as we think about what it means to be church and what it means to live a life worthy of the calling to which we have been called, one of the things that's really become apparent to me in the last 3 years is to continue to foster the sense of community, the koinonia that I talked about earlier. Because you see, church isn't a whole bunch of ministries that happen to use the same space. Church is when we are all integrated as one. It's not about just the youth ministry, and it's not just about the music ministry, and it's not just about the music ministry. All of those are church ministries, and they all go together as an integrated whole. And ministry isn't only about my personal walk with Christ. It's about the journey that we take together. When we think about the ministries that we do in churches, oftentimes we tend to think about what we would like to see in a church. But one of the things about koinonia is that we set aside who we are. And as we seek to live a life worthy of the calling to which we have been called, we think about all of those around us and what church ministry would look like where every single person around us feels a part of it. We are called to embody koinonia in such a way that we become one. At the end of the passage that you heard this morning, Paul says, "One Lord, one faith, one baptism." When we truly live a calling to which we have been called, we are anticipating the time when God's kingdom will reign on earth, and we will all be united as one. And I have had the privilege in the last 3 years of getting a little taste of that here in this congregation, of being united with you all as we have worked in community at various ministries in this church. And I have certainly smiled at many points along the way, and I know that God has smiled as well. And today, even as I leave with a sense of sadness, I also anticipate with joy the journeys that lie ahead for all of us. And as we embark on these journeys, I know that God is smiling down upon us. And I remember as we gather around the table today for one last time, as that I will celebrate with you, that we will feast together again. And I look forward to that day with great, great joy. Amen.